This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined by Kyle.
Hi.
And here we are again on another Tuesday night here in Stony Brook, where summer is coming to a close.
Yes, school is back in session.
School is back in session here at Stony Brook and the public schools.
Absolutely.
I think just about everybody is back now.
Yes.
I don't think there's anyone left. New York City, they go back late, the end of September, but...
Some colleges back where I'm from, they start like more towards the end of September.
But, really? Some start in August, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, when I was in college, when I was just starting out, a freshman started, you had to be there the first week of, or last week of August.
It's amazing. But then you get out in May instead of June, which I always thought was cool. Because in public school, you get out in June, but in college, all of a sudden, you're out in mid-May, and it's like you have a whole extra month. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time of year, too. But regardless, so that's what's happening around here, that kind of activity. Let's see, what's been going on with us? We did something yesterday that was kind of sad. We went to the local Borders.
I don't know if we can talk about this.
Well, it is sad. We went to the local Borders. As you may know, Borders is a nationwide book chain, actually probably an international book chain, that's going out of business. These huge signs saying going out of business. Why? Well, you could blame the internet, you can blame Amazon, you could blame their own business practices. They were moving all kinds of non-book products in and confusing people and just kind of losing their way, in my opinion. So it's I remember when that place opened, the Stony Brook Borders. It was a big deal. You walk in, a big bookstore, all kinds of people reading, and it was, it was also sad in a way because it was a chain bookstore, and it drove all the independent bookstores out of business because everybody went to the big chain. And now the big chain is out of business, and the local stores are out of business as well. True, we have a Barnes & Noble just across the street, but who knows what the future of that kind of a store is going to be. I'm afraid that we're moving into a society where we don't prize the printed word as much as the digital word. And, you may say, okay, you publish a magazine, so of course you're going to feel that way. No, it goes beyond that. It goes into days spent in libraries and a family collection of books that spans centuries, really.
Well, how about just reading?
Yeah, reading in general. People are reading all the time on the internet, but what are they reading? You know, they're reading blogs and Twitter posts and things like that. And, you know, it's certainly not. I mean, you can read the same words. You can read Gulliver's Travels on the internet, but I can't find anybody who will say it's the same as sitting in a chair reading an actual book. You know, you might get the same out of the work in question, but it's not. You don't have the smell of the paper. You don't have the sensation of turning the pages, and I think that's an inherent part of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
I think that's, and you can take it anywhere. You don't have to worry about a battery running out. There's wonderful things that are coming out of the internet, obviously, but I'm just hesitant to completely abandon the old ways.
Well, and what about bookshelves and having a library in your home?
DVDs. People put DVDs on there now.
Yeah, and that's
what that's going out of fashion now too. So I don't know what they're going to put on there when DVDs are gone.
That's kind of what I meant by reading in general, because there's all this video and multimedia that is wonderful on the one hand, but I don't know the amount of reading that goes on. Even in my personal life, I feel like making time for that is
who has time? No one has time.
Right, and when you do, you really feel like you're getting in touch with something old.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sit. And to read, I mean, it's like a something from way back that you're tapping into, and I don't think that's good. It should feel normal. I mean, it's good to appreciate it, but I don't know. It's too strange, and I don't know. I should be more familiar with that feeling. I think a lot of people could relate.
I'd like to especially appeal to the younger listeners tonight when we take phone calls a little later on. Tell us if you've read a book recently. If you've read a book ever, I don't say that disparagingly. I imagine there are probably a lot of kids out there that have never had a reason to actually read an actual book and hold it in their hands. Why bother when you can read it on a digital device of some sort or on the internet see a film version? I just wonder, are there people now? There are people that can't use a rotary phone. And, there's not really a good comparison there. There's no practical use for a rotary phone. It's good to know how they work, and we love the things.
I beg to differ.
Okay, go ahead, beg.
No, that was it.
Oh, that's the extent of your argument there. Okay.
No, figure of speech. I mean, I beg to differ.
All right.
I think
usually that's followed by some kind of justification for the begging.
You can use a rotary phone to make a phone call.
Well, I know that. You can also call the operator and have her make a phone call, but we've moved on.
No, you can't call the operator.
You want me to call the operator right now and have her make a phone call?
Good
Actually,
luck.
You know what? Yeah, Stony
Good
Brook.
Luck.
Stony Brook is kind of
blocked.
The show
is only an hour.
Yeah, it would be difficult. But you can, from a regular phone, from a regular non-restricted phone line, you can dial the operator and convince her. You might have to use some excuses, say that you've lost your arms or something like that. And of course, it'll be a while before she figures out, how did he call me? You can get them to do that. Tell them your 7 key is broken. And make sure the number you're calling has a 7 in it. And maybe they'll help you then. But the point is, a touch-tone phone makes sense. There's no real reason, no compelling reason to use a rotary phone other than nostalgia. Whereas books serve all kinds of purposes, nostalgia being one of them. But it's also, I can't really put it into words. It's the portability, it's the link, as you mentioned, to the past. And I think also they just will last so much longer than any kind of digital format that we might have now. To bolster this argument, find something on your computer that's 10 years old that you still have. A program or a printed work of some sort something digital. People don't hold on to digital things that long. They're always upgrading and getting out of date, whereas books date back centuries. You can find books from 500 years ago, and they're still around. Go to the Strand in New York City, go upstairs into that secret area, and see just some of the things that have been around for so long and will be around long after all of us are gone. Can't really say the same thing about the Kindle version of whatever it is that work is. And that's something we just have to remember. You know, you digitize things, fine, but formats are always changing, and letters on paper, not really going to change.
Indeed. Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. You could also, if you have overly sweaty hands, the pages sometimes fix that, you know, when you're turning pages and reading.
What's this again? The sweaty hands do what?
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, you want to dry out your skin a little bit, you know, the pages in a book will do that, but on a Kindle, I don't think so. It'd probably make your hands more clammy and whatnot.
Of all the thought and argument I put into this, in one move, you've trumped me and
with
a much better.
It makes sense now.
I get it. That's what a book is invented for. Obviously, I mean, people had sweaty hands back in the medieval era. So what a solution than to have books to relieve them.
Well, while you're reading something informative, you know.
Yeah, do you want to just describe what it was like?
It was really sad. Around? Borders is all the furniture is being sold. There's nothing on the shelves.
They're actually selling the furniture.
They had a leak in the ceiling, literally garbage cans dripping water from some
fire. Selling the garbage cans.
I don't know.
You can buy the garbage cans.
Leaking, but
you can buy the garbage cans with the water in it, but you can't buy anything else, I don't think.
The Seattle's Best Coffee is closed, and all of the espresso machine, the dishwasher, all that stuff's for sale has been sold.
The reason the coffee place closed is because they have big signs up saying 80% off everything. And, of course, the first place people would go would be the coffee shop. And then they'd be in trouble. They'd be fine.
Right, because why would you need a book?
Yeah, well, some of the books are 90% off. And that's the other thing. You know, as a magazine publisher, think how that affects us, that a store all of a sudden can't handle its finances, has to go out of business, and sells everything for 90% off. Well, you know, we're the ones getting 50% of 10% now instead of 50% of 100%. And it's a trickle-down effect that something like this happens. In one fell swoop, we lose 10,000 readers because that's how many people got us through Borders, got 2600 magazine.
10,000 readers.
Yeah, so it's not good. It's not good for anybody. Of course, this hurts all publishers, hurts books and magazines alike. It's really sad.
So if people go there, there's not much there. There's not, the books are all mismatched, kind of. I mean, they're kind of in the same sections, but it's just really in disarray. And I don't know. Somebody should go and take some pictures there. It's pretty weird.
The thing that beeps when you steal something was beeping all the time when people were leaving the store, and nobody cared.
Yeah, I don't think they can demagnetize that or whatever anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they sold that.
I was thinking of making an offer for that thing. And yeah. I was daring you to go and say, we're here for the cash register and see if we could unload that from them. But in another week, though, it's going to be gone completely. And
forever.
I don't think I've ever felt this way about a chain store. And in fact, there was an amazing article in yesterday's New York Times that focused on just that thing. Because yesterday, the first store that had ever opened in the Borders chain, the flagship store in Ann Arbor, shut down for the last time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there's a huge article about this, and it really it touched upon the magic of a bookstore and how it fell into decline. And it's very eye-opening.
I gotta say, it's also sort of extending out to other small businesses, and I think there's a larger issue here where people do things remotely. You know, you buy everything you need online or remotely, and all the information you need is there. Everything comes through a TV. You don't have a reason to go to these small shops, the specialty stores, the guy that'll sell you the batteries or chip in some parts for something for mm-hmm. free. We're losing a lot of that, and those people need to eat, and mm-hmm. they have livelihoods, and it's kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to go into it, but the whole Walmarting of America, where all these small businesses kind of get pushed out
right.
by corporations and the global economy and all of that. And I joke sometimes with smartphones, it's like, yeah, I have this wireless device that I can pay the bill for the wireless device, and that's what it's for. I pay the bill anywhere in the
yes.
world, and I can go there with the wireless device, and I can pay the bill so that I can have the wireless device to pay the bill.
Yeah, and most of the time when you're on your phone, I think you're trying to deal with the phone bill for that phone. You spend hours just staring, trying to figure it all out. Where did this charge come from? I have to call them now and talk to them and wait on hold. And
well, let's not get into that.
It's unreal sometimes. But yeah. Even if you don't do that, the amount of time people are fixating on these things, it's unhealthy. And as somebody who fixated on all kinds of technology and still does, even when you were in the midst of the hacker world, you knew there was more. You knew there was a world out there, and yes. It's good to step outside of it occasionally. I just see so many people under mass hypnosis now, and it's it bugs me. I wonder where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see young people that are refusing to get their driver's license or own a car. That's kind of a trend that I think people have talked about. Young people that are turning 16, they're just not getting cars because they don't need them or don't want them or can't afford them. Maybe that could apply to some of these sort of invasive technologies. I mean, let's get back to real society and to other forms of communication, or at least just a good healthy balance.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not always tweeting about what you're doing at the moment, but actually doing what you're doing at the moment.
Get out, ride your bike, ride around the neighborhood and support the small businesses around you. You don't have to stay inside and manage everything from a terminal. You got to get out. And I mean, part of the running errands or just living your life is the journey and the trip there. And that's, smelling the fresh air and seeing what's going on in your neighborhood.
So. Now, in addition to finding young people who have actually read books recently, are there young people out there who have not texted in 24 hours? Things like that. I'm not trying to cast everybody under the same net, but there just seems to be all this emphasis that if you're cool, you do this. You don't read books and you're constantly linked to your phone. And just doing what everybody else does on Twitter, on Facebook, and constantly updating your social status and not really having a life because you're constantly updating your social status.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit bizarre in my eyes. In our travels yesterday, we went from the bookstore. It was sad. We no music, just a lot of people grabbing what they can get. Not much left, though.
I was really touched by the bouquet that you laid at the door.
Yeah, well, you sort of have to do that. You can't come empty-handed.
Yeah.
It was a funeral bouquet that, well, not getting into that. But, bring something, a candle, whatever. It's really sad. But we went to a supermarket, though, and we found this publication. Yes, speaking of printed matter.
Oh, this is very serious.
This is something. There are still printed publications out there. This was not found in Borders, though. This was found in a local supermarket, and I had no idea something like this existed. It's called Long Island Fugitive Finder. It's a whole magazine devoted to finding fugitives from Long Island, not just in general, but this is a local publication. Volume 5, Issue 9. How did I miss it for so long? And on the front page, this month's featured fugitive, they don't have her name there. They just have her. Is she posing in front of bars, or they put the bars in front of her?
I believe those are computer-generated
bars. Computer-generated bars. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's looking kind of defiant right there. I'd say, she's saying, so what? You think you can test me? You think you...
That's a frown.
You think I can't I can't stay hidden from you? Well, I can. And she's on the front page of the Long Island Fugitive Finder. Nobody can say that the magazine industry is in peril if something like this can come out. So, let's go to page 3, and we learn all about Dina Ekholm. She's got a birthday coming up. I won't give all her information out because I do believe even fugitives have the right to privacy. Does that make sense? Is that something bizarre that I just said, that fugitives have the right to privacy?
That you mentioned, that is a bit counterintuitive.
It does. I know it seems a little...
Well, is her social security number in there? What kind of privacy are you talking about?
I don't see her social security number here, so apparently they...
They agree. They concur. They're respecting her privacy as well.
Check this out. LKA, that means last known address, right?
I believe you're right.
I never saw that acronym before, but it's the only thing I can think of. Her LKA is Montana Court, Coram, New York. Now, Coram is right near here. I've never heard of Montana Court. Why in God's name do we have a court named Montana in Coram? And how is that her last known address? How is a court your last known address?
Maybe she was released from jail, so she was
Yeah, but that's not her last known address. Her last known address was where she lived before she was in jail, I would imagine.
Maybe she didn't have much information beyond that.
But here's what's weird. Adina Ekholm is wanted by the Nassau County Police Department 7th Squad. Corum is in Suffolk County. So what gives there? Now, she's wanted by them on an open felony bench warrant issued by First District Court for CPCS 5th degree. What's CPCS? You know, it would be a lot easier if they spelled things out here. Maybe CPCS is a horrible crime, and we need to rein her in immediately.
I have no idea what
that means.
Or
maybe it's just not tipping enough in a restaurant. Who knows?
It could be. Yeah.
CPCS. Fill some time. I'm going to ask Google what CPCS is.
Criminal possession...
No, fill some time talking about something else while I try and
I'm guessing.
Type this out.
All right, well.
CPCS. Committee for Public Counsel Services. Wow, that's a horrible thing. Or could it be the Cedar Park Christian Schools?
That's probably it, yeah.
Christian Park. Cedar Park Christian Schools, 5th degree. All right, well, that does sound serious. As you can see, you know, it's not... For cops, they might know this kind of thing, but we don't. So... Anyway, the defendant was originally arrested at Sunrise Highway and Block Boulevard. It's important to know the intersection.
Criminal possession, controlled substance.
How did you figure that out? And why isn't that on Google?
Criminal possession of controlled substance.
Of course, that makes perfect sense
fifth
now.
But degree.
It's not on Chesapeake Public Charter School. That's on there, you know? California Poison Control System.
Fifth degree means it was just a little rock.
I mean, that's... The one you said is the most important one, I think.
Go on. The one that affects the most people. I think that's it.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, it's very important to know the intersection somebody was arrested at. Sunrise Highway and Block Boulevard in Massapequa Park. Does it ring any bells, anybody? Okay, and now we know the intersection. Maybe now we can find her because we know that information. That was on August 9th, 2011, pretty recent, after the vehicle she was in was stopped by police.
Wow.
Further investigation revealed the defendant was in possession of a quantity of crack cocaine. And there's your CPCS for you right there.
Yeah, just a little bit. Fifth degree, you know.
A warrant was issued when she failed to comply with a subsequent court proceeding. And that is what gets you on the front page of Long Island Fugitive Finder. It's not, much.
You want some fame and fortune, people. Well, maybe fame, but yeah, check it out.
How much?
I mean, there's some other ones on there.
Well, there's some winners in here.
She is definitely the featured fugitive.
This magazine is 28 pages.
It's pretty substantial.
It's magazine/newspaper. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But how much do you think that was worth, what she had? Ballpark figure. We're talking... $10,000, $100,000.
What she was possessing? Oh, yeah. No. Street value is probably less than $100.
Less than $100. She has something less than $100, and she's on the front page of Long Island Fugitive Finder. I'm not jealous or anything like that. I'm just saying that it just seems like there's probably more serious crimes out there that somebody could be on the front page of a magazine for.
Seriously?
Yeah. Here's Lloyd Coleman, for instance. Possession of a weapon, second degree. Most wanted, N321. I don't know what that means. Why do they tell us these things that don't make any sense? He has a tattoo of the name Eric on his arm. And he has knife scars on his torso, in case you happen to see his torso. he's out there, too, somewhere. For some reason, though, they list his last name first, Coleman Lloyd. And the next guy is Kareem Wisdom, which apparently is something he does not possess. He has a real big smile on his face, though.
Yeah, he's looking pretty happy.
He's looking pretty happy because
I think it was suspended.
He was, yeah, aggravated unlicensed operation first degree. What does that mean, aggravated unlicensed operation? Is that something a doctor does?
It sounds like he was defiant that he was unlicensed and, you know,
it doesn't
tried
even say
to fight it.
Unlicensed operation of what?
A vehicle.
How do you know that? You don't know that. Could have been an airplane.
Well, doesn't it say suspended license? I think I read this.
Well, it says the subject was originally arrested by New York State Police, I mean state troopers, in March of 2011 on the Northern State Parkway, hence the state troopers, in North Hempstead for driving with a suspended license. But that was his previous crime.
That's why, because it was unresolved and he did it again.
I'm good, man. Kareem, what are you thinking? Then we got the story of Justin Seehoff. He's wanted for CPCS, fifth degree again. He had crack cocaine at the same time, and he was stopped at Route 107 in North Massapequa. Seems like there was some kind of a sting going on in North Massapequa. And it just goes on and on here. Yeah.
Nobody I know.
Nobody I recognize either.
Yeah.
And
these are all unfamiliar faces.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything critical of any of them. Some of them could have much better hair than they have in these pictures. Here's some video freeze frames of people wanted for assaults, and apparently cameras captured some of them. Yeah, so I don't know where you can find this. I guess in front of some supermarkets, Long Island Fugitive Finder. Never heard of this before. I do know Suffolk County Crime Stoppers has an 800 number, 1-800-220-TIPS. Nassau County, 1-800-244-TIPS. I wonder if every instance of the word TIPS has some police department attached to it. 1-800-XXX-TIPS. And if not, what happens if you get a number that ends in TIPS? What kind of mischief can you be up to? Can you perhaps put out a publication all about, public officials who you feel should be indicted and prosecuted, and then you have an 800 number that ends in TIPS if you know where those people happen to be?
I like that idea.
Look at this, a video of a burglary. You see the guy actually breaking in. Okay, Crime Stoppers and the Nassau County Police Department are seeking the public's help in identifying the subject wanted in connection with a burglary which occurred in Freeport, New York, within the confines of the First Precinct. On Wednesday, July... And, you know, if they really wanted to catch this guy, why did they print such a microscopic picture of him?
Yeah, they should have dug through the files to try to get something better. Unless... Is he unknown? We don't have a name for
him? He's unknown, which is why you got to print a bigger picture.
Yeah, they should have enhanced that.
Yeah, I think that would have been nice. Enhanced it and do some age progression on it.
Oh, nice, yeah. I wonder how effective this publication is. I mean, obviously it's effective enough for them to continue to print it for free, or we're paying for it. You know,
I never heard of it before. We just found it by accident. It's one of those things in front of a grocery store. Anyway, let's get to the burglary.
Sure.
Wednesday, July 20th, approximately 1:37 a.m. Approximately 1:37 a.m. Not exactly, approximately. Mm-hmm. So it could have been 2:40 as well. But we think it's approximately 1:37. The above-pictured subject was observed at U.S. Petroleum Gas Station, located at 199 East Sunrise Highway, Freeport, New York. Obviously, they're closed then.
Oh,
so
wait.
People can burglarize them at any time.
Was he taking gas?
The subject broke the front door glass.
Okay.
And without permission or authority...
He had permission
to do the front door glass to break that, but afterwards he did something without permission or authority.
Right.
He entered the premise and removed. What do you think he removed? Come on. Let's put yourself in his shoes. You're in Freeport. It's approximately 1:37 in the morning. You're at a gas station. You've just kicked open the door. You've broken the glass.
I'm running through the glass.
No running. This guy's very calm.
Jumping over it because I don't want to get cut. And then I'm looking around. I know there's cameras. I'm wearing some kind of mask.
Come on. And sit back down and just think about this. Don't reenact the whole crime. Go ahead.
No, I got to get into the...
I know you do, but we only have a half hour left.
All right, so the cash register.
That's very good, Kyle. Very good. That's what I would take, too, is the cash register. It's
the got safe?
The cash in it. How do you know there is a safe?
The beef jerky rack.
Oh, yeah. You have to take that. Now, he he removed scratch-off lottery tickets... Because, you know, if he wins, he's going to come back and claim his prize.
How much work is that?
It's a lot of scratching off to do.
It's a lot of scratching.
Six boxes of cigarette lighters. Who needs six boxes of cigarette lighters? He's got one hell of a habit there. He's going to sit by the side of the road and sell them?
To the crack cocaine offenders.
Yeah, they were worth $300. 45 boxes of cigars. Now, I don't know... Yeah, tell me your opinion on this. What do you think 45 boxes of cigars are worth? And keep in mind, this is a gas station. I don't know who goes to a gas station to buy cigars.
If it's like a five pack of like a cigarillo, those are like $5 each.
Yeah, but it's a gas station.
If it's a box, yeah, so that's probably the likelihood.
How much would a box be worth?
A box of fine, you know, imported cigars is a different story.
I don't think we're talking about that.
I don't think that's there. No. Okay, $5 each, and you took how many?
What, $5 for the box? Or for the cigar?
A box? I mean, a carton.
45 boxes of cigars. Let's not get hung up on the boxes of cigars here. I'm just looking at what might be a typo.
So, like, $500 in cigars.
Okay. Well, what number is that there? I'm holding this up to you. What number is that?
It's 18,000?
No, well, I don't know. It might be 18,000 or it might be 18,000.
It's 1,000.
No, it's 1,000. It's 1,800. 0000.00. So they put the comma in the wrong place. So it might be $18,000 or it might be 1,800 with an extra zero. They put the comma in the wrong place. Nobody proofread this.
Okay, I'm saying 1,800 and they really screwed that up.
Yeah, they sure did. The whole case can go down the toilet because of this. Nice job, Nassau County. 75 cartons of assorted brands of cigarettes. That's worth $6,975.
Now, cartons got a lot of cigarettes, and cigarettes are pricey.
And U.S. currency worth $150. I'm not sure how much of that he took, but it was worth $150.
I think you should have focused more on the currency.
Anyway, so yeah, this guy is on the run after doing all that back in July. Yeah, Fugitive Finder. I don't know who publishes it. I'm trying to find out that information. Okay, this publication is being brought to you by DNS Advertising in cooperation with the Crime Stoppers sections of the Suffolk County Police Department and Nassau County Police Department. The goal, and goal is capitalized, of this publication is to locate and apprehend subjects with the help of our readers. Their goal is not to sell advertising.
They have letters to the editor?
I don't see any of that, but I do see some ads. I don't know who advertises in... who would want to advertise in these kinds of publications, but...
Let's just hope they don't go the way of Borders.
Well, yeah, you know what? I could live with that a lot easier than I could live with losing an entire source of reading material.
Yes, well, good luck to them. I hope they find everyone.
What happens if they find everybody? They're out of business.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
I'd like to know, do they have editorial board meetings?
Maybe
they
change it
to decide who's going to be going on the front cover, you know? It's worth thinking about.
Yeah.
So, shall we go into delay? Let's go into delay, and we'll take some phone calls. 631-632-9872. We have other things to talk about as well, but we might as well at least make it possible to start taking the aforementioned calls. 631-632-9872.
Hi, this is Ellis Paul here to tell you that the world ain't slowing down, but you can hear it all in stereo on the commercial-free airwaves of WUSB Stony Brook.
And we're back. We're back in delay land.
Did I make it?
No, Kyle, you have not yet made it. Hold on. Hold on. We're trying to make sure everything is okay here. Okay, yeah, you're here now.
I'm here.
I think so, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of gauges and dials that we have to take care of. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah, but, you know, USB sounded better than ever these days.
It sounds better because that station from Connecticut hasn't been interfering, although I understand they're interfering again.
That's right.
But we'll have to deal with that at some point. All right. 631-632-9872, if you have any thoughts or feelings on anything that we've been discussing, let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
Hey, it's our friend. We met you in person at the Chaos Communication Camp.
Hey, how's it going?
We did. All right. I'm doing fine. I was wondering if somehow people would be able to see the pictures you made, Kyle, from the camp.
That's a good question. Kyle has been taking all kinds of pictures.
Yeah, so I'm still processing some of the digital ones, and I have a bunch of the color to pick up this week, and I think I'm going to wait till I get back to Seattle to do the black and white, and that takes kind of a long time, especially with the film stuff, because I have to develop it and then scan the negatives and back it up, because a lot of digital media these days has to be saved in high-tech ways. It can't just be put in a binder. But eventually I'll get to it. I'll definitely let everyone know. Thanks, though.
I'm a few months behind with the pictures I've been taking with the pocket thing anyway.
Uh-huh.
Say, anyway, I think you mentioned last week, I don't know if it was on USB or BI, but you mentioned that the Czech Border Patrol people damaged the book you were traveling with.
Yeah, it was the book you gave me. It was one of the front pages got folded a bit. Yeah, and the thing that annoyed me so much was I was trying to keep them from damaging it just by saying, please put it back horizontally, not vertically. It doesn't fit vertically. And, you know, this was after they had searched. It wasn't during the search. They were putting everything back, and the guy just, like, shoved me aside and continued to do that, damaging the bag and the book. It's not horrible damage to the book. It's just it annoyed me that there's any damage to it because it's such. You gave me a Bulgarian copy of 1984, correct?
I think so. That's how I remember it, but I was suspicious about when I heard about it. I was wondering if it's the book I had some personal involvement with. And
yes.
Oh well.
But it's okay. I can't read Bulgarian anyway, so it's not like I'll be fretting over that too much. But
right.
it still looks good. My bag though has a big hole in it, so I have to figure out what to do about that. Of course, I'm still upset at the people that harass me at the U.S. border, and I'm filing a complaint about that as well. So every time I travel and come back to the country, there's a lot of paperwork involved in filing complaints.
Oh well. Good luck with all that. And
how are your travels? Did you have fun?
Well, with the traveling, well, we spent a day in Berlin after a camp and managed to go visit Seabase, which was fun.
Okay, yeah, Seabase is great. That's a hackerspace.
And when we were getting there, we met up with some people from camp, which was, again, fun. And yeah, after that, with the traveling, this being my first travels around Europe without needing my passport, I put my national ID card in my hacker passport when passing it to ID checking folk behind on airports and got a few smiles from that.
Cool.
No stamps, though.
No stamps. Okay, yeah, you talk about the hacker passport that Mitch Altman was handing out for hackerspaces,
yep.
And it's a really cool thing to have.
Oh, also,
yes.
I managed to get a few stamps near the Brandenburg Gate to the passport. There was a person putting stamps from Checkpoint Charlie and the Soviet commandature and things like that that he had gathered, I guess, or faked, whatever, and he was selling it to tourists. On pieces of cardboard and cards, postcards or whatnot, and I asked him to put some on my passport, and I have some in my hacker passport from him, which was fun.
Robson, can you tell us, before we move on to the next caller, we were talking about books and closing of bookstores. What's the book situation like in Bulgaria? Are there a lot of bookstores? Are they closing? Is everybody going digital?
Well, quite a few people are going digital, and not much in terms of publishing, though, because the publishing scene is still kind of weird around here. And in terms of people I know buy books off, internet and this and that, the imports in English and other languages, and I do myself. I just bought a couple of three books this evening from people publishing them at a meeting from science fiction fan club in town and other than that.
Yeah, so you're still actively involved in reading and buying books and things like that. Now, if you were to leave where you are right now, how far are you from the nearest bookstore?
Let's see, it's... nearest bookstore. Oh, the nearest bookstore is maybe less than 100 yards from here.
Wait, 1,100 yards?
Oh.
Less than
100. Yes.
Wait, did you say 1,100 or less than 100?
Less than
100 yards. First of all, it's interesting you're not speaking in metric, but...
Well, I'm thinking it's less than 100 meters, which is about 100 yards or so.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's... What, do you live in a shopping center, or there's just a lot of bookstores there?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a lot of bookstores, but there are some.
Mm-hmm.
And I live downtown Sofia, so it's not...
Okay, yeah, I guess if you're in a city, that would make sense.
To think about it, there's the two nearest ones are less than half a kilometer from here. Oh well, maybe a quarter.
Okay.
But the third nearest one, I have to think about. It's probably in one of the larger malls that have sprung up. But
okay. Listen, we're going to move on to another call, but it's great hearing from you, and it was wonderful meeting you over there again. We had met before, too.
Okay.
And we hope to see you at Hope Number 9 in New York City next July. I know it's a hassle to get over here, but if you start planning now, it's a possibility.
You know, you you know how getting a visa into your passport from a country which wants you to have one before traveling there feels like from your wrist?
Yeah, because we went to Belarus and you have to jump through hoops.
Yes.
Literally, they make you jump through hoops.
If I have to go through this, I may skip it again. And it's next July, right?
Next July. In fact, there's rumors we might be announcing the date tomorrow on Off the Hook. That's possible.
Well, we shall find out, right?
Yeah, I don't know how these rumors get started, but yeah, well, it's something worth thinking about, you know? Maybe we'll smuggle you into the countryside.
I assure you I am.
Okay. Hey, listen, great hearing from you again.
It's 10 months.
All right.
I'm here too.
Take care. That's our faithful caller from Bulgaria. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Samuel, I tuned in late this week, but this is Brady from Texas.
Hi, how you doing? What part of Texas are you in?
South Texas.
Okay, great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling in because I rarely watch political things, but I watched the debates last night, and I was wondering what you guys thought about it, specifically moments like the laughing and cheering when they posed the question to Ron Paul, would you let a 30-year-old die if he had a terrible accident but no insurance?
I'm trying to figure out that audience, where they got that audience, because I saw the part where Perry was asked about putting the greatest number of people to death of any governor ever, and the audience started applauding. What are they applauding? They're applauding putting people to death? I mean, it's obvious that some innocent people were among that huge number. I don't understand who they were. It was a California crowd, some very strange reactions from them, and they almost scare me more than the candidates themselves. I didn't watch the whole thing, though.
For life, you automatically have to like the death penalty. I'm not quite sure where the turnaround comes in that, but that seems to be the trend.
Uh-huh.
But what did you think about the debates and who spoke? For example, I noticed that Ron Paul is the only person who didn't say Obama this, Obama that, or that terrible, you know, Obamacare. They can't refer to a bill.
Right, right. As I said, I didn't watch the debate myself. I just heard that that Perry didn't do very well.
No, and it's hard to be a Texan. It was hard under Bush, and then it's still hard. So I kind of hope he gets elected, if only because it will get him out of here.
Well, okay, you know what? You've pulled that on us twice now with both of the Bushes. And, you know, you might even Lyndon Johnson, you might even count him. But come on already. Have some pity on the rest of us.
You know what? I just realized I was making a joke, but that's terribly true what you just
It certainly is. Listen, is there any thought of you guys maybe seceding, going, you know, maybe joining Mexico or something like anything?
Well, you know, we considered it, but if we did that, Puerto Rico would have to come in or the flag would just not be right. And, you know, there's a lot of money that goes into flag making these days.
It's just, you know, I feel you guys could do so much better with a different country than the United States. I just think you should consider that. You know?
We're not all bad.
No, I know that. In fact, we should have like a grace period where certain people can come across the border, as it were, and maybe enter places like Oklahoma or Arkansas, places like that. And then we'll set up the Minutemen to keep Texans out from that point on.
You know what? That's actually a good idea.
That would actually be a really funny thing to do, is put up a border patrol for anybody leaving Texas and let them get a taste of their own medicine. Yeah, listen, hang in there. I have nothing but respect for people who live in places where all kinds of crazy things are happening, but still remaining individual and enlightened and all that kind of thing.
All right. Well, hey, thanks. You guys have a good night.
All right. Take care. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. Good calls tonight, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, wow. We're getting faraway calls tonight. What's on your mind?
So, yeah, you started off the show asking if people had actually, you know, read a real dead tree book recently.
Tree book, yes.
Two, in fact. I kind of got tangled up in them, but I was on vacation recently, and I stumbled across a copy of New York Times edition of the Warren Commission report, and picked it up out of curiosity. I've basically been skimming that while I've been reading What's the Matter with Kansas. I mean, that one I'm actually reading. I'm just skimming the Warren report right now, but yeah, I'm probably the exception, though.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Do you have many bookstores where you are?
We still have a Barnes & Noble, but I don't go in there too often. There's a small chain nearby called Half Price Books, which I'm really fond of.
Okay.
And then I found a wonderful store down in Iowa City that, you know, it's just a small independent store that's got a fairly decent selection. I mean, I found like the first edition Heinlein novel that I was very, very happy to come across, especially for what, $5 or whatever it was. But, you know, there's still a few.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that's, you know, somewhat hopeful that they're not all shutting down, and especially if there are independent ones out there, because books are still very relevant, very popular, and very much part of the future.
Yeah, well, there's actually another independent store here, but I never go there because they basically do nothing but mystery novels, and that's just not what I'm interested in, so I don't frequent them. But, you know, it's good to see that they're there.
Uh-huh.
That's where.
All right. Well, you know, walk into a few every now and then. It's just good to have people coming in and out at least. And
I've gone in there and I've talked to the guy a little bit and looked around to see if maybe there was something I was interested in. But yeah, it's very rare that I wind up there, but they're out there.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Hey.
Yes.
I just was thinking, wasn't it at one point historically that having books and having a library was a sign of wealth?
I think it was just a sign of being educated. I know a lot of poor people that had a lot of books.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, a lot of rich people, like they have paintings on the wall, they also have a lot of books.
Right, like, but having an extensive library, like I'm thinking of the founding fathers, you know, mm-hmm. Jefferson and all of that. And I don't know, maybe I think that speaks to... what's going on?
Yeah.
We're losing books, and I don't know, it's sort of a metaphor for the economy, I guess.
I think it's just a metaphor for the way we think and our overall intelligence and attention span.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to parallel too much to the Republican Party, but I'm just looking at this article about how it seems like the Republican candidates are turning into a two-man race. Initial signs of this two-man race developing in the struggle for the Republican Party's 2012 presidential nomination, those two being Rick Perry, the aforementioned Texas governor, who announced his candidacy, 31 days ago. He still holds the numerical lead over former Governor Mitt Romney. They're not neck and neck exactly. The Gallup organization has what's called a positive intensity score. I don't know what this is, but Perry holds strong at 24, and Romney's score has surged from 11 2 weeks ago to 16 now. So he has a positive intensity score of 16. At the same time, the scores for the two GOP women have faded. Michelle Bachmann's score has dropped from 13 to 10, and Sarah Palin, even though she's not technically running, her score plunged from 16 to 10. And there's other people running as well. Let's see, who else do we have here? They have such microscopic print. Okay, others in the Republican field are Rick Santorum. Remember him? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something about him in a second. He went down to 8 from 10. Newt Gingrich at 7. Ron Paul up to 7 from 6. And John Huntsman, I have no idea who John Huntsman is. He went down from 1 to minus 1. Yes, you can have a negative. You can have a negative-positive intensity score, apparently. He is minus 1. But Rick Santorum, do you remember Rick Santorum, Kyle?
No, I have no idea who he is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, this is in response to comments by ex-Senator Rick Santorum. He was criticized, rightfully so, as anti-gay by gay rights groups and some politicians. And also sex columnist and gay rights activist Dan Savage.
Okay, I know Dan.
Dan Savage initiated a campaign in 2003 to associate Santorum's surname with a sexual act.
that sounds like Dan Savage.
It was brilliant. It really was. Savage's effort culminated in the creation of a derogatory word association often described as humorous and provocative as well as vulgar or unprintable.
Nice.
Now, he basically invited readers to coin a definition for Santorum that would offend the senator. The winner turned out to be the definition of Santorum was the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. That is what Santorum is. He created a website called Spreading Santorum to promote this definition. You going to be okay there? It's not funny. It's these are words. It's printed in a dictionary somewhere. Spreading Santorum promotes this definition. It became a prominent search result for Santorum's name on several search engines. Now, Savage offered in 2010 to take the website down if Santorum donated $5 million to Freedom to Marry, a group advocating legal recognition of same-sex marriages. But he declined that, and apparently the campaign is in full swing all over again. And apparently Santorum is also starting a campaign to run for president. Can you imagine that? What was it he actually said? I'm trying
a
to find
frothy president.
Trying to find the actual. He said this is back in 2003. He had no problem with homosexuality. He did have a problem with homosexual acts. So he had no problem with gay people as long as they weren't gay.
And basically. Engage in.
Yeah, as I would with acts of other. What I would consider to be acts outside of traditional heterosexual relationships. And that includes a variety of different acts, not just homosexual. We have laws in states like the one at the Supreme Court right now that has sodomy laws, and they were there for a purpose. Because, again, I would argue they undermine the basic tenets of our society and the family. And if the Supreme Court says that you have the right to consensual sex within your home, then you have the right to bigamy. You have the right to polygamy. You have the right to incest. You have the right to adultery. You have the right to anything. Does that undermine the fabric of our society? I would argue, yes, it does. I have no problem with idiots. I have no problem with idiots as long as I don't ever have to see them or hear them. Yeah, how do you like that, Mr. Santorum? Now, he, of course, is upset about the website and the word, the new meaning of Santorum. He said, it's one guy, you know who it is, the internet allows for this type of vulgarity to circulate. It's unfortunate that we have someone who obviously has some issues, but he has an opportunity to speak. And he also said there are foul people out there who do horrible things. It's unfortunate some people thought it would be a big joke to make fun of my name. That comes with the territory. And he said Google should step in to prevent the definition if they would normally do so.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, well, they don't normally do so, so I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, Santorum, that's the word of the day.
Yeah, I don't know.
What? It's perfectly fair. It's a fair use of wordplay.
I think the family is more of a threat to the institution of the family.
It's that aggressive definition of, well, family can only be what I think it is.
Right?
Only something that reflects my views and values and things like that. And if you look around, at non-traditional families and all kinds of other institutions, people out there, you'll see that's not the case at all. You'll see that there's all kinds. Love comes in all different flavors, and you don't have to have the Norman Rockwell background, the 1950s two cars and a lawn type of a household to be happy. And sometimes that's very unhappy for some people.
And I got to say, I think he's a little late. Like, he hasn't quite gotten the message. I mean, even I get surprised. You know, I think I'm fairly open-minded and progressive, and I kind of know what's up. And attitudes are a lot different, you know. Families, I've had people tell me the things that I just never really thought were... I've, you know, been sort of stuck with older points of view and been sort of enlightened by different people that maybe would be aligned with this guy. So I think he's just a little... He's got some bad information. But, you know, I still think we're looking at a second term, but that's just me.
Yeah. Hey, let's leave delay now. And unfortunately, Kyle, we have to leave more than delay. We have to leave the whole radio dial because our time once again has run out.
Well, I think we used it well.
I think so, too. But, it always just starts getting good when you have to stop. And
yeah.
It's sad. But, okay, no problem. We'll be back again next week. And you can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. And you want to talk about the big turtle very quickly?
Yeah. We were out at Montauk at a friend of ours' birthday shindig he was having over the weekend. And we walked down to a pond out there. I forget the name of the lake.
A mystery pond and a mystery park.
Right. And we walked down there. You go through the grass, and there's like a boardwalk, and you go out, and then there's a little gazebo that's sort of out on a dock. and we were standing around the dock, and there's like fish jumping and little like bugs crawling around, water bugs crawling on the surface, and we were looking, and like, oh, there's fish and stuff, and I kept seeing these little bubbles coming up. I was like, bubbles. And you and our friend was actually Spiny, right? Can we say
Spiny Norman. We can say, yeah. Spiny Norman on the air. That's absolutely Spiny Norman. It's no longer an offensive term.
You guys were looking in the water, and I was looking. I could not let go of these bubbles, and I was looking, and all of a sudden, I see a turtle. It was a huge turtle. Sea turtle, or freshwater turtle.
And
massive.
It was,
and he came up, and his little nostrils came up, and he was like, he just slowly came up, and I called you guys over. We all saw this turtle. He kind of waved and took a breath and then disappeared.
Just checking us out, and then went right back down. And times like that, I realized Long Island's a pretty cool place because we have all kinds of wildlife. You can go out east and see a completely different world than if you go out west. And in 2 days, we had seen a turtle, and you really think you saw a beaver?
It's a beaver. It was like adolescent beaver.
I don't know why a beaver would be here, because I think they're freshwater animals, but it's mostly saltwater here. But if you say you saw a beaver, I believe you. And I saw a creature that I thought was a cat. But
I bet there was a creek like in the underbrush and stuff.
Anyway, Long Island's a magical place sometimes if you just keep your eyes open. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn.
Male chauvinist pig engineer.
Right on, sister.
Lost our green land. We lost our green air. We lost.